WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Food writer Ed Levine describes pizza as the perfect food, so he doesn't seem to have minded doing the research for his new book, Pizza, A Slice of Heaven. It tells the history of pizza, collects recipes, and also collects essays by many food critics discussing the burning issues surrounding pizza. Levine is also the author of New York Eats and contributes to the New York Times dining pages. He says there are many reasons why pizza is the perfect food.
It's the ultimate communal eating experience, right? When you think about it, it's the food that we grew up with, that sort of emancipated us from our parents, right? I don't know about you, but the first time I ever ate away from home by myself with my friends was a slice of pizza.
You know, I've never thought of that before, but that is so true because
Right? Where
I grew up in Brooklyn, there were pizza places. There were like three great pizza places within two blocks. So even as a child, I could walk with a friend to one of the pizza places and have lunch on our own.
And you were free at last. You know, you were free at last. And you had two slices and a soda. And at the time,
absolutely.
I don't know how old you are, but, you know, for me, I'm 53. The earliest memories I have of two slices and a soda, the slices were 15 cents and the soda was a dime. So for 70 cents, and you could even leave a really generous tip of 30 cents, you'd be at a dollar.
Now
that's a pretty fulfilling and cheap meal.
Let's define our terms when we're talking about perfection. What kind of crust do you like?
I like a crust that is made with either yeast, sourdough starter, salt, flour, water. Pizza crust is at its heart great bread, right? So it should be the same things that go into great bread. And I like a crust that has a veneer of crispness that gives way to tender sort of internal bread dough. So, you know, you like that first bite, you want to hit a little bit of crispness, and then you want it to be tender. The same way when you bite into a great baguette or a perfect piece of rye bread.
And what about the surface, the cheese? What makes perfection there?
I like discrete areas of cheese and sauce. I like the mozzarella to be fresh mozzarella, so it should look white. It shouldn't be yellow. That aged mozzarella, that creepy yellow that aged mozzarella is, I don't like on pizza. So, and then I like sort of bubbles. I like the dough when it's cooked in a very hot oven that's either fueled with wood or charcoal. I like bubbles. You know those little bubbles that you find in bread or on the outside of pizza crust. I like those. You know, it means the pizza's going to be crisp. It means that pizza's going to be light. And I don't like the space blanket school of pizza cheese, you know, like the Ray's pizza, you know, where they put a half a pound of that weird cheese that's a color not found in nature. I don't like that.
And what about the sauce? What makes a good sauce?
My favorite kind of pizza sauce is as they serve it in Naples, which is merely canned, strained, fresh tomatoes, preferably from Italy, from San Marzano. But I've also had great California tomatoes. And I don't want it to be cooked, and I don't necessarily even want any seasoning in it. I like the taste of tomato, of simple tomato. I don't want it to taste like a pasta sauce. If you cook the sauce that you put on the pizza, then it tends to taste like a pasta sauce. And I like the simplicity of simple, canned, strained tomatoes.
Most places do use the pasta sauce, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It varies. It varies. A lot of places use canned pizza sauce, also not a good thing. And most of the canned pizza sauces are cooked. It's more forgiving. I'm sure it has a longer shelf life. some of the serious sort of artisanal pizza makers will use a cooked tomato sauce on their Sicilian-style pizza and a fresh tomato sauce on their Neapolitan-style pizza.
You know how a lot of pizza makers, and this is particularly true in the good old-fashioned pizzerias, they'll take the dough and they'll toss it and twirl it in the air and they never drop it. What does that do for the pizza dough?
You know, I'm not sure as because I'm not a practiced bread baker, but most of the serious pizzaiola I know say that you don't really have to toss the dough. I think it's to stretch the dough and to stretch it in an even way. But I also think it became part, you know, theater for all the pizzaiola in the country that could that had an open space where they could, you know, where they could toss the dough.
Of course, so many restaurants serve those individual sized pizzas now, and you can't very well toss those in the air. They're too small.
No, exactly. And that's why when you Naples, where pizza in this culture was born in the 1830s, you never see them tossing because they only make one size of pizza. They only make the individual sized pizza. And this whole thing about larger pizzas only came into being when pizza moved to America.
You know, a lot of restaurants brag now that they have a brick oven for their pizza. What does the brick oven get you?
Well, the brick oven reflects heat really well and allows heat to build up and stay at a constant temperature. So it can be brick. It can be many other kinds of stone. Actually, the key thing is that it be brick or stone and that it, you know, because even in gas-fired pizza ovens, they have stone linings or stone on the bottom. And of course, when we reheat pizza or make pizza at home, we use what is known as a pizza stone. And so it's what's important is that it be stone or brick. Brick happens to be a particularly effective heat transmitter and a holder of heat. But it doesn't necessarily have to be brick. All kinds of stone can be used.
So a gas oven with stone in it is good.
Yeah, is better than a gas oven without stone. The key to the oven is how hot you can get that oven and whether you can maintain that heat. In other words, the reason we can't make great pizza at home is because our ovens only go up to 550 degrees. In a wood-burning pizza oven in Naples or in this country or in a coal-fired brick oven, which is where all the seminal pizzerias in America used in New York and New Haven and all these other places, the coal-fired brick ovens and the wood-fired brick ovens get to 1,000 degrees. So the reason you can't make great pizza at home is because we can't get the ovens hot enough.
I have one last very important question for you, which is, do you always eat the crust, the rim? Some people like leave that over.
I know, but I think if it's good, that great pizza crust, like at pizzeria, like at the pizzerias I love, I couldn't bear to leave the crust. The Neapolitans, interestingly enough, because they eat pizza with a knife and fork, because they don't cut the pizza in Naples, so they often leave the outer rim, which is called the cornicione, and they don't eat it. They just eat the inner parts of the pizza. But I think that if it's a great pizza, that the crust deserves to be eaten in full.
Ed Levine, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
Ed Levine is the author of the new book, Pizza, A Slice of Heaven.